Blog Talk Radio.
In the middle of a conversation or whatever, you got a question, booyah, just dial in. 347-826-7278. Again, it's 347-826-7278. You can always listen to I guess you can download this blog here. Not a blog, what a fan. This blog, this radio show, that's what I'm calling it. Always on Blog Talk Radio. WFB continues. It's what it is, what it be. But like I said, you know, we always dropping the science here with Coach Lee, and let's get into the show because we got great topics tonight. We got a historical event or herstorical event, as I always use the word. Don't use his story. I use her story all the time. If people think I'm misspelling history, I'm like, no, it's her story. You know, that was broken down in the college class one time, so I use that to a T every time. So we're going to talk about her story with the hiring of it's the second female football high school coach in American history. We'll talk about that in the first quarter. We got my girl, Ruby Nugent from FAMU. Yeah, I said FAMU, University of Florida A&M, or Florida A&M University. That's why it's called FAMU, Coach Lee. Duh. Anyway, she's going to be talking tonight. She's my guest, special guest. You know, this is the next level of women that will be venturing off into tackle football. They're playing flag football on the college level, on the national level, actually, and getting some great reviews. So we'll be talking it up and talking it up with Ruby tonight. And then, you know, we might carry over into the third quarter. I'm not quite sure yet, but we'll jump into season openers. What's going down, what's taking place in, less than 2-3 weeks. We'll talk about some matchups. And then also, we can always end it with the Ning board and talk about the hot topics. The hot topics, you know the hot topics. We always talking about hot topics. But anyway, let's do it like we always do. You know, we always got to give representation to our who? Sponsors. So, you know, Coach Lee Show, Four Quarters of Coach Lee, is brought to you by Adidas, my Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas. We all should be rocking Adidas. You know, because that's how we should be doing it. We got to support those who support us, and definitely Adidas is doing that. We also got, you know, Rogers Athletic Equipment or Rogers Athletic Company. They're basically here with all the equipment, from the bag to the sled to the line markers to whatever you need. Rogers Athletic Company has it all. You know, I gave them the slogan, where the good gets better. You know what I'm saying? Actually, I'm going to take that away. I ain't going to give that away. That's the slogan for the Women's Football Camping Conference. So I just can't give away. I give away too much information on this show anyway, and people just take it and run off with it. So I'm going to take that back. I'm going to have to give them another slogan, okay? Definitely. Something like, you know, use our bags to work hard or something like that, or working hard using our bags. I don't know. I'll come up with something. I definitely come up with something. And then we got Enterprise. Why? Because they will pick you up. Yes, they will. Enterprise Rent a Car. Support them. Why? Because they support women's football. Why? Because they support this show. Why? Because they support the Women's Football Camping Conference. Hey, that's how we roll it. That's how we do it. So let's go ahead and kick this bad boy off like we do it. And it's a deep kick. Because we talk about nothing but deepness here in women's football. Four quarters of Coach Lee, that's who you're rocking it with. But hey, let's jump into the first quarter. I know by now you have gotten the word that there is a new woman that landed in prep football as a head coach in the wonderful city of Washington, D.C. That is Natalie Randolph. Was introduced this past Friday as the head coach of Coolidge High School in Washington, D.C. And it talks about, you know, there's roughly 27,000 high schools in USA, and through thorough records keeping, and the level spotted that she is one of the first National Federation State High School Association head coach of a boys football team. I know there was one who was hired 25 years ago, and I don't have her name in front of me. Like I said, I do my homework, but I don't do my homework, you know, cheat notes. But the bottom line was she was hired 25 years ago and actually lasted one day, and she decided to resign because of all the pressure and the phone calls and all the things that took place back then. I want to say it was back like in 84 or 85, something like that. Not quite sure. The information, if it comes up, BJ, throw it out there. If not, oh well. But the bottom line is Natalie is actually one of us, meaning she's played football currently in both the NWSA and the IWSL for the D.C. Divas. This is a heck of a milestone for women because, again, you know, speaking as a man like I normally do, and I keep it real, you know, football is the last man's sport. You know, it is the last man's sport. And I know, again, at my practice, I have people driving by, don't teach them football, as they're driving by, you know. And we all laugh because it is. It's the last stepping stone to manhood. You know, everything else women can do or have done. But, you know, football is the gladiator sport. And, you know, it has its perks and whatever. But let's get back down to Natalie, Coach Randolph. I mean, you know, I don't know her personally, but I did send out a congratulations to her through email. I called Rich Daniels of the D.C. Divas, wishing him luck and you know, congratulating their organization. You know, it's a historical monument at this point in time. And like I said, I think she was a wide receiver for the D.C. Divas and also special teams. But she's also coached prior to this, so it's not like she just got the job, you know, because, you know, they just want to throw her in there. But the fact was, she was already coaching on the high school level as it was, as a wide receiver coach. And then she actually coaches at Coolidge High School. But in doing some of the, you know, listening to some of the intakes of of the news coverage and all that other good stuff, you know, there were some good things that were said, you know, about her that blew away the committee to hire her. You know, because, you know, a lot of guys go in there with our package and say, yeah, I'm going to teach the boys this offense or this defense and this is about me. And from what my understanding was, from my sources said, that she went in there and talked about the kids and about them improving their grades and improving the opportunities to go to college, you know, that motherly instinct, you know. And then what topped that off was I was watching a video clip of one of the players. I don't remember his name. I just remember he was wearing number 2 jersey. And they are the Colts, and that's kind of cool because, you know, my high school was the Carson Colts, you know, out in Carson, California. So I'm feeling this. I'm feeling this whole thing. It feels good. But the reporter asked the player, how do you feel having a female coach? And he said, well, you know, my mom is female, and I come from a, you know, a female-ran home, and she's like my father and my mother. And being a mother, you got to be a great coach to be a mother. And I think that hit it right on the head. You know, that was a hammer that hit it right on the head. And, you know, like I said, women have been figures for men all our lives. That's the first person we are in tune with. Hell, we inside the mom from the get-go, you know. So, you know, I'm a mama's boy, as you can hear. So, yeah, I'm definitely mama's boy. But when that player said that, it really struck me and said, you know what, ain't nothing you ladies can't do. You know, yeah, it's a man's world, but it ain't nothing you can't do, you know. And then I was listening to Natalie a few speakers. She got a nice soft voice, and, you know, and she was saying, yeah, I'm not a yeller. You know, I'm a teacher, which, you know, if you're a great teacher, you can be a good coach if you know how to get through to the kids, you know. But my thing is this. She's there, and that's great, but the bottom line is if she don't win, it won't happen again. Are y'all listening to me? If she don't win, it won't happen again. And that's just coming from my perspective. Again, I wish her all the luck. Like I said, I emailed her a nice paragraph of wishing her luck. And I know that, you know, she hasn't answered yet. But you know what? Who's Coach Lee compared to Oprah? You know what I'm saying? I know, I'm pretty sure she's going to be on the Oprah Winfrey Show. I'm pretty sure she's going to do the circuit of being, you know, whatever. But the fact is, reaching out and letting her know that, you know, I'm here to help, and I put that on a meme board. You know, it's all of our jobs to help and provide the resources to make sure that she succeeds in what she does. Is she going to go undefeated? No. The fact is that she's teaching the boys the game of football and putting together a great staff, and these young men are going off to college because she's elevating the level of education and the importance of education, then she's doing her job, you know. But if she gets players who quitting and, you know, and using an excuse because she is a woman and she doesn't know the game, she doesn't know her X's and O's, hey, then it's our bad. So, again, why do I talk about stuff like this? Because you never know when you get your opportunity to be a coach. There's a lot of guys out there who are jealous right now because they can't get a high school coaching job, you know? And here it is, a woman who has maybe, what, 5 years of playing experience, even though she's a great athlete, she ran track and played volleyball and some other things, you know? The fact is, you get that one shot. It's what you do with that one shot. And like I said, she comes from the women's football culture, and like I said, it's our job to get out there and make sure we support her and provide those resources. And like I said, it goes back to the Women's Football Camping Conference. It goes back to the Women's Football Camping Conference. Using those resources, coming together and using those resources, because you never know when your day will be called to know football. And again, true football analysts and true football fans want to know, you know, I don't want to go see your game just because you're a woman to play it. I want to know, can you really play the game, and do you know what the heck you're doing? And do you know what these X's and O's are? And do you run a complicated offense and defensive scheme? Do you know, can you talk football and not just rely on the fact that I'm a woman? And I think one of the reporters asked Natalie, you know, almost like the Super Bowl question to, what's my man from Washington Redskins? Oh, it's killing me. I got him on Doug Williams. when is he, the reporter asks, how does it feel to be a black quarterback, you know? And the reporter here asks Nally, how does it feel to be a female coach? And she, you know, she responds the same way Doug Williams did. Well, Doug says, I've always been black, and I've always played quarterback. It feels no different. You know, with Nally, I think she said she's always been female, and it's the first time for everything, or something like that. But the fact is, people are going to judge you based on your gender. They're going to respect you because you know what you're talking about. That's when you get respect. I don't care if you're male or female. If you don't know the game, don't talk to me. Don't be out there saying you're a coach and you don't know X and O. Don't be out there and be a coach and don't go to camps and clinics because you're fooling yourself. Okay, yeah, I'm harsh sometimes, but I love, you know, being me. I am who I am, you know. So, again, you know, I'm reaching out to Nally. Hey, you've done a great job, and I hope you get the opportunity to make it your program and don't buckle under pressure, because that's one thing that football teaches you. You know what? You get knocked down, but you get up and you dust yourself off again and you try the next play. Don't give up. Don't quit, coach. That's all I got to say. Hey, we are running on time, and we're going to go ahead and jump right on into my next girl. But I got to say, I got to put my sponsors out there. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back to coach, and I'm going to follow up with Coach Randolph and her progression each and every week. You know, like I said, the next two to six weeks is going to be a circus for her, and we're going to make it happen. But let me drop real quick my commercials real quick. You know, I got to do what I do because the quarter number one is over. So anyway, hey, you know what? This show was brought to you by Enterprise. Why? Because they will pick you up. When you need to rent a car, pick Enterprise. Why? Because they will pick you up. And Adidas, you know what? I ain't got my commercial on me, but you know, my Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas, everybody should be rocking Adidas. Why? Because they support women's football. And also, the new sponsor on deck, you know who it is. It's Rogers Athletic Company, the one who provides all the equipment for you to get better. Uh-oh, that might be the slogan. The provider of equipment to get you better. Hey, I like that. I might use that. But anyway, yo, hey, we're going to go to quarter number two. I think I got my girl online, you know, at is that Ruby, you there?
Yeah. Hello,
oh,
can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. You good. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right. Well, let me get you the proper introduction because, you know, I just want to make sure you're on the line because I'm not in my main office and I got to get little emails here and there to let me know that you're on. But, okay. You know, tonight's show, is I got a special guest. Her name is Ruby Nugent, and she is – I don't know if she's currently a student at FAMU, but I saw some video on this girl, and I said, where is she and why isn't she playing tackle football? And where are all these other women that are slinging that ball around that field? And I did some research and ran into a couple of coaches, and they're like, oh, I know this player, I know that player. And I'm like, hey, I got to get her on the show. And so she's representing the next wave of women's football. Let me introduce to y'all my girl, Ruby Meaty. How you doing, sweetheart?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. How about yourself?
All righty. Are you still a student at FAMU?
Actually, no. I've graduated. I did a couple of years as a grad student, and I'm actually back home. Mm-hmm.
You back home?
Yes, in Central Florida.
Ah, Central Florida. Uh-oh. You know there's a couple of teams out in that area.
I was just saying that. I was doing a little bit of homework.
Yeah, there's a team in your backyard, but, you know, I'm not going to give up the name because I'm going to say, hey, you can always fly to Vegas. You know you can always fly to Vegas and play, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, but you know, talk a little bit about your background, you know. Growing up, did you always play football? Did you want to play football? You know, how did you get involved in flag football?
Well, I started out playing football in the street in front of my house. We used to play two-hand touch, tackle if we had some grass. But coming up as a kid, yeah, I was real active. I was very active. My sport of choice was softball, though.
Softball.
I played everything in high school, but I went to college to play softball.
Okay.
I got a four-year scholarship to play at FAMU, Florida A&M in Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm.
I was catcher and outfielder. And after I was done, my flag football coach, they had been done for a while. I think 2 years they hadn't been playing. And the flag football coach was also the golf coach there. He grabbed me by the ponytail one day and was like, "Do you want to play football?" And I hadn't been doing anything. I was taking a couple of classes, and I was like, sure. I didn't, you know, how serious it was. I didn't know if it was just something to go out and do, you know, in the meantime. But if they said play and they said football, I was there. So
that's
what I'm talking. Yeah. So at the time, I was a student assistant with the softball coach, and he had tryouts, and I missed everything. But when I got there, you know, he let me know that, you know, I had a spot, you know, as long as I could commit to the team. And that was 3 years ago. We started out our first tournament. And mind you, Florida A&M isn't that big in the intramurals as of yet. We didn't have that many girls to play flag football. So once we got out to these tournaments, our eyes were wide open. We were like, wow, there's this many girls playing flag football. And it was intense. Our first tournament, our coach, he was a little embarrassed because he was like, I don't know how our season's going to be. Because we lost every game by 40 points. I started out actually as a wide receiver, but I was too fast. I'd be down the field, and our quarterback couldn't get the ball to me. And we were using the men's ball at the time. Yeah, so we started running the ball. It was like, we got a couple of girls who ran track. Let's run the ball. So after we got, this was at the Swamp Bowl in Gainesville. It's a really prestigious tournament here in Florida. It's been going on for about 20 years. And after that tournament, we went back to the hotel. We had a good time, and our coach was like, well, you got to go back to the drawing board. Our first year, we actually won our first two national tournaments, national titles, one in New Orleans, ACIS, and one in Dallas, nursing. And that first tournament kind of showed him what he had to work with. After that, I went to quarterback. We got a smaller ball, of course, and we actually started learning football. The X's and O's, like you were talking about earlier. It's amazing the transition we all made and how we thought about, how we talked about, how we felt about football. And it just kind of sucks now. I played it for 3 years. My first year was good. Second year was even better. And third year, we had an awesome time. And then it's over, you know. And I was talking to one of the girls I play against, and she was having ideas about, you know, rallying to the conferences to let them know, hey, there's girls out there who want to play. Can there be an open division? But, you know, it's an issue with there not being enough women's team in the college division. There's plenty, because a lot of times when schools have their intramurals football, like USF, University of Florida, they have 500 teams. Not 500 people, but 500 teams.
Wow.
And this is coaches, this is staff playing, anybody who wants to play flag football can play. And only the students can go and play in the tournaments who are governed by the ACIS, who's governed by NERSA. So what we're looking to do is...
Let me tell you real quick, because some of my listeners don't know what the ACIS is. The ACIS is American Collegiate Intramural Sports Association, am I correct?
That's correct. That's correct.
All right. And I noticed that you guys were national champs in, what, 2007 and 2009?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So go ahead, continue. So you guys went down to, where'd you guys go?
We went to, I was speaking about the teams and how many people are playing, but the problem with flag football is that once you're done with school, once you're no longer taking classes, you know, you can't be on the roster to play in any tournaments abroad, like going to a regional tournament, going to a national tournament. And and we were looking to get an open division. Well, I mean, that's going to probably be down the line, you know, and I'm fresh out. I finished our last season in January. We won the title in Tampa. I spoke with Coach Webb. He mentioned that someone actually saw that game on television. They're trying to make it, you know, more widespread, making it televised and doing more, getting more sponsors and making it a bigger event, because it is a huge event for its college students.
Yeah, it definitely is. I know, see, I played ball, college ball, tackle ball, and ran track at Cal State University Long Beach. And I knew that intramurals was big time, you know, but we couldn't play because we were scholarship athletes, and we couldn't play until, like you said, after our eligibility was over with.
Right.
You know, but I just see no need to go play anymore. I'm a little skinny guy. I don't need to get out there and lose weight. I'm happy at 155 pounds, you know, even 20 years later. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the sporting industry for colleges is really large, because not every high school kid that played sports gets a scholarship to play when they go to universities, and they have to play in intramurals, and it's pretty competitive. Am I right?
Yes, it is. It's very competitive.
Okay.
It's very competitive, yeah.
Because I'm also working on here. I have a young lady on my team, Las Vegas Showgirls. Her name is Nikki Johnson, and she actually played flag football since she was like 8 years old. And she came out as an 18-year-old high school student, because she turned 18 in October and came and played for us during her senior year.
Okay.
And she was going to go to the University of Arizona, but because she had such a great experience playing football, she wound up just saying, you know what, I'm going to stay local and go to UNLV, because she was, you know, she got accepted to both. But that's how important football was to her, that she was willing to stay here in Vegas just to continue to play and do her schooling here. But she's pushing high school flag football for girls. We're trying to sink in high school flag football as a varsity sport here. And we're going to
do our best. You have it yet?
Well, you know, we did. The school district, the National Federation for the high school here in the state of Nevada has it on a probationary basis until we get our numbers up.
So right now, we have it in Florida.
Yeah, I know. It's Florida, Alaska, and I want to say Texas are the three states that have it sanctioned as a high school varsity sport. And we're trying to be the fourth. But we got to get our numbers up. So I've gone down to the middle school rankings in elementary and speaking on behalf of, you know, the showgirls to get these girls to be more active and get involved in football. So we run free girls clinics, you know, to get the girls out there and teach them the fundamentals. But that's what we're working on, and that's what Nikki is doing. Because, again, you got to be able to play the sport at an age where you can continue to go through. And the only part about it is you can't get a scholarship in it unless it's sanctioned on the college level as a varsity sport, you know. And that's, I think that would be the next movement to get football in college, but we got to get it in elementary school, we got to get it in middle school, we got to definitely get it in high school. But there's
some
great athletes out there.
Absolutely.
And you're one of them, because, again, I told Coach Webb, who is this in this film? You know, I'm watching the highlight film on the Ning board, and I'm the one who posted it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got it off of YouTube, and you got on there, and I hope you get to see what, you know, the environment of women's football is at right now, and like I said. Now, are you taking the next steps to want to play tackle football, or are you still looking to stay in flag as an adult?
I'm actually looking to take that next step. I've been doing a lot of research, and, you know, my homework, because Brian has been keeping in contact with me, Coach Webb. He's a high school friend of mine. We went to high school together here in Lake Grove, and he actually called me. He was like, are you checking on it? You know, the more and more I look into it, you know, I get that same feeling, that pregame feeling, you know. It's exciting. I mean, the competitor that I am, adult flag football, like right now I play women's competitive softball, slow pitch softball. I play for the team I play for is Enough Said Easton. I don't know if you heard about the women's softball, competitive softball, but it's my fix right now. I used to play fast pitch, but coming out of college, I went and started playing slow pitch. And the team that I play for now, I have myself nine titles, I have nine rings, I think.
Can I borrow a ring?
Maybe more.
I need to borrow a ring, because I don't have a ring. I'm trying to get a ring. And
I
Coach Webb is always throwing in my face. He's throwing all his rings in my face. And I'm like, man, I got to get a ring so I can start setting some people up, you know?
Yeah, you got a problem off my family's finger, because they have them, they love them. And
wow.
It's, and that's, That's what I'm about right now. I'm about I'm so competitive I can't stand it. I guess I can't get it out of me. And as I watch these videos and I look more into the website and I'm like, this is so me. This is so what, you know, I would like to be a part of. And you know, the league that I played in, the college in the flag football in the Mills, I mean, I could see, you know, one day down the line, if I get into the league, I know I'll see some of the same faces I played against, because those girls that I played against were, you know, someone gives me a hard time. You know, right. They're some of the top-of-the-line athletes in general. We have some really good athletes, and that's something that, you know, you like to see. You love to be in the company of that, you know, and that's something that I don't think I can get rid of. I coach softball right now, and, you know, my girls, they have a hard time with me. It's just I can't get rid of this competitive rage I have inside of me.
Right, and I think it's a disadvantage as women. Once you finish your college ball, no matter what sport, if you don't make it to that, quote, the next level, the, quote, professional, making money, making a living at this, you know, WNBA, the fast pitch softball league that happens, I think it's in the Northeast area, I think like 8 and 9 teams and that, you know, once you get into the workforce, there's really nothing out there for you in Parks and Rec but what? Co-ed softball.
Yep,
you know,
that's it.
And a lot of these ladies that have played or that are playing tackle football are, like you said, they're ex-athletes. They're ex-track and field athletes. I got a NCAA Division I champion volleyball player on my team. I got a weightlifting champ, you know, that lifted weights in college. You know,
wow,
you never lose that competitiveness. You want to get out there and compete, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I didn't got 25 almost 30 years on my body, so I compete in the mind. I don't compete on the field, but I still think I can outrun everybody. You know, I still do hurdles. I can still long jump 24-11. I can still triple jump 52 feet in my mind. But, you know, when I get 50, I'm going to compete in the senior games. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to jump in on the senior games and have my day, you know. But, you know, I'm like, wow. I mean, how many girls out there do you think really, I mean, that play flag football in college? Like, you guys have a team of how many girls on your team?
We keep 11 or 12. I think our magic number is 11.
Magic number is 11?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And how many schools compete at, you know, at the flag football level in, say, the regional tournaments or the national tournaments?
Okay, regional tournaments, a good regional tournament, we're going to turn out 6 to 7 good quality teams. Now, these aren't teams that didn't make it. Some of the girls who can't, because think about it, it's intramurals. You have to fork up the money to come. You have to have the time. You have to have the grades also. You can't be, you know, no dummy trying to go play flag football. Speaking is a good way you need to get your work done. But, you know, it's good quality teams, about 6 or 7 on average. You know, and there's teams out there. There's probably about, I'm not even going to go there and give you a number of regionals, but there's a lot of regionals. We have to go to 2 to get our berth, but we normally do about 6 or 7 tournaments to get ready, and most of those tournaments are regional tournaments. There are some schools that have been dominating flag football, so they get good girls through every year, you know, and they have a good, solid program built, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that's one thing that we look for, too, when we're looking for regionals to go to. We don't want to just go to a regional. We're going to, you know, we know we're going to win. It's going to be some sorority girls out there. No, we want to go to the tournaments where we know there are girls that, you know, they're either done playing their sport or, exactly, they want to compete.
Yeah.
And that's what we look for, because our team, Florida A&M, we don't have, like I said, we didn't have a big intramural league. We're looking to build that. That's something that they're working on actively now. So what we did was we played City League against men. We played in one of the lower divisions, and we played against men, and that will be our preparation for our season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I'm actually looking at the ACIS National on the board, and it dates back to like 1980 as far as this organization putting together national football, flag football tournaments. You know, and what I'm noticing is it's a lot of teams from down south, y'all southern girls. You know.
Yeah, cornbread fed girls out there feeding the cows and stuff.
You know, my folks are from Birmingham, Alabama, so I know about them corn fed girls out there.
You know a little bit about them. Uh-huh.
I know a little bit about them, but, you know, I'm on the West Coast. You know, it's a little different now. But that's what I'm noticing here. You know, I try to look at the sport in general. For instance, tackle football. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna go to another question afterward. But you would notice that the teams that are doing a lot of damage are coming from the South, because the girls there aren't so what I call the pretty girls. You know what I'm saying? They're going to get out there and get their sweat on and then go whip themselves up and get their hair done and did and whatever and then go get their club on. You know, here on the West Coast, it ain't always been like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm just looking here on the board. So if you want to find out information to my folks that are out there, you can go to acisports.com. acisports.com is a lot easier. And you can see some of the historical facts of women's flag football, you know. But you know what, Ruby, my next question really is, wow, I'm getting old. God, I just had a 40-year-old brain fart just now. Oh, my goodness, what happened to me? Anyway, I got it. Going into, here we go. It was about colleges. You said that, you know, you guys got to come up with the money to go to these tournaments. Aren't some of these teams funded by, like, associated student organizations?
It depends. I believe it, like, for example, our team. One year when we went to nationals, we were, I don't think we did anything from student government. I don't know. But we were able to get something from organizations around the city. Our coach was in fraternity, so he got a big help from his fraternity brothers. And,
okay.
You know, I think it differs. Some schools honor intramural sports and will give them a stipend. We weren't given a stipend.
Okay.
We weren't given anything to work with. Yes, it's typically a smaller school, but those schools that have these big intramural programs, so they have this tournament throughout the year, and then the winner of the tournament turns into the tournament team. That's how it works for some of the
school, correct?
Right, right.
Okay. The reason why I ask that, because there is a college tackle football team for women based out of Boise, Idaho. They call it the Boise Broncos. And they started off as a club team for the university.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't play. They didn't play 11s. They played a form of football called sixes, which is 6-on-6 football.
Okay.
So it'd be similar to like you on flag football. It's a smaller field, but it's just tackle. And
mm-hmm.
I know they've been having troubles formulating a team because, again, if you represent the university as an associated students club or whatever, all the players have to be students of that university, just like you guys, correct?
Correct, correct. We have to present student identification as well as our there's some forms that have to be passed through the registrar. So it's pretty official. They make sure that you are a student.
Right, because you don't want anybody to have any ringers on the team, because I'm pretty sure that goes on, though.
I know, right.
I am pretty sure that goes on. Yeah, so, yes, because I know they try to start, like I said, a football team, tackle football team with associated students, but now some of those players who played and started, you know, when they were 24, 25, are now 30, and they're no longer in school, but now they don't know what to do with their organization. And my advice to them was to start an organization that's not college-based, but use the college players as a recruiting tool and not using the university as a funding tool. You know, because they were funded by the university when they first started, you know.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so my thing is this, you know, I'm glad to see that there's young ladies out there who are promoting the game of football like yourself. And, like, I really hope you do your homework and, you know, really find, you know, your enjoyment in tackle football and taking your game to the next level. And, you know, hey, like I said, there's always a home in Vegas. I'm just throwing it out there. I can't promise you no job or anything, you know, because, again, a lot of these, like, I get a lot of phone calls from different coaches, and they asking us how come we don't have a draft and all this other stuff. And I'm like, realistically, what are we going to draft players for? What are we going to give them to come play for us? You know, get your job at UPS or FedEx for, you know, 6-8 weeks, and then you can, you know, go back to, you know, your home. But you know, that's another line of communication that we as owners of teams, we got to find a way to recruit athletes like yourself and possibly offer, you know, a situation where we might have a job hookup depending on what your major is, you know, because that's some of the things you got to look at. You know, this is life decisions. You just can't go willy-nilly and go play on a tackle team and don't have no job, you know, food,
right.
You know. But, yeah, continue to do your research. And like I said, you know, there's teams all around you. Definitely go check out a couple of games. Have some of the girls that play flag football, go check it out. And like I said, you get a bigger rush playing tackle than you do flag. There's no better rush in sports than in football. And in tackle football, it just triples it up than what you've already gone through. So, you know, again, I'm glad that you came on the show and gave us a perspective of a college student who plays competitive international. I can say international. There's a couple of teams from Mexico that have been in some of your
mm-hmm.
tournaments and
mm-hmm.
actually been national champions. As
oh,
I was
yeah,
there, one
that.
Dominating. Yeah, they were dominating at one time. Just took over.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have any questions that you might want me to answer? Anything about tackle football that you know? You can lay it out there.
I guess the one thing that I would say is, you know, if possible for the girls that are coming up and coming out, you know, find a way to get to some of those national tournaments, you know, for, I guess, owners or someone that's over the organization as a whole to give out more information, you know, so that they can kind of plan better towards something of that sort. Because think about girls who are finishing college, you know, looking for a job, looking for someone to relocate and possibly, you know, and they could be, you know, finishing up their you know, degree to find a career somewhere that's located near one of those, you know, teams that are there to have everything already set up. So that would be, you know, beneficial, you know, for those, especially coming like me, you know, coming out of college, like, okay, what do I do now, you know, so I'll continue to play softball.
Yeah, I know, because I think my next level of recruiting for women would be to, again, venture off to, like you said, to some of those regional tournaments and national tournaments. And like I said, I offer a women's football camp and conference to help you transfer from flag into or transition into tackle football, which is another situation, you know, because, you know, I play football, and you got some of these guys who walk around all buff and tight shorts and, you know, every muscle you can see, and we call them T-shirt superstars because when they're T-shirt, they all world. But when you get them pads on, it's a whole different world. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that would be the next step for you ladies who play flag football, who haven't played tackle, of course, you know, is can you transcend your flag game into being a good tackle player? And that's one thing that I had to experience firsthand with Nikki Johnson, because she was All-American, All-World flag football player and won national championships over in Disney, you know, for the youth NFL program. And when she came to tackle, it was a whole different world. And it took her 4 or 5 games just to realize that she's playing tackle. I got to dip my shoulder. I could run somebody over because flag football, it's not aggressive. What's the opposite of aggressive?
You got to be elusive, so you got to get out of the way.
yeah, you definitely do. But it's more of a passive sport because you
mm-hmm.
can't be physical. You know, you can get physical going after the ball, but to go pull a flag, you can't go tackle them. You know what I'm saying? You can't use your aggression to pull a flag, you know. So that's one thing that she had to transcend into was, you know, the speed of the game and realizing that she's going to get hit and then she can also give a hit. And so she was so used to just taking a hit. And so we had to teach her how to give a hit, you know. So like I said, Ruby, I'm so glad that you came on the show, and I hope you hang out on the Women's Tackle Football Group.neen.com board. You know, it's the number one networking board for women's football, tackle football, and we invite the flag football players to come on the Neen board. So if you got friends and ex-players and teammates, please invite them to the board because we want to get them involved in women's tackle football.
Absolutely, and thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All righty, thank you, everybody. That's my girl, Ruby Nugent from FAMU. Yeah, I can't sing. I know I can't sing. But you know what? Hey, the show is just rolling. We are just doing our thing, and we are having fun. I got to take a little sip to to wet my whistle, because you know Coach Lee do a lot of talking and my mouth just get dry. So after I get a quick sip, we'll continue, you know, with my sponsor break. You know, I ain't got all that technology stuff to just push a button and say, this is brought to you by. No, I got to do it all myself. This is live. You rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee. You are rocking Four Quarters with Coach Lee each and every Monday at 7 p.m. West Coast time, 10 p.m. East Coast time. That was like the Coke commercial. Or 7-Up. But anyway, that was Powerade. I dropped the little name, Powerade, a Coca-Cola company. Again, you got to know your products because, again, you never know who's listening to you. You never know what's going down. You never know who's around you to pass out a flyer to do this with or do that to. So anyway, hey, know your product. Know what's going down. Hey, this show, Four Corners Coach Lee, brought to you by you know who, Adidas. My Adidas, your Adidas, we Adidas, we all should be rocking Adidas. And by Enterprise. Why pick Enterprise? Because it will pick you up whenever you need to rent a car because you got in a car accident or your car don't start or if your car got stolen, whatever, go to Enterprise because they will pick you up. And by Rogers Athletic Company. It's the company that gives you all the equipment. I just made something else up. I don't even know, you guys. I'm just rocking and rolling because that's just Four Quarters with Coach Lee. I'm me. I be who I am. I be who I be. And we're going to move on to quarter number four. Oh, yeah, quarter number four. Let's talk about some football, yo. We like, what, 16 days out, 26 days out from the season kicking off. I can't wait till we get the rocking and rolling. You know, the girls are hungry. They've been tearing each other up. They've been just biting at the bit to hit somebody. And, you know, we're trying to keep them tame. We're trying to keep them fresh because, you know, it's going to be a long season this year. A long season. I know we're rocking 9 games this year for the season, which is great. I think 10 is a great number of games. If we can build it up to get to 10, go back to 10. I know that WPFL was at 10 at one point in time. Personally, I just don't think 8 is enough. You know what I'm saying? Like that TV show, 8 is enough? No. I think 10. 10 is a great number. 10 is a great number. But anyway, let me go ahead and rock and roll with what's coming up. You know, like I said, schedules are out. You know, people are doing their thing. I know there's been scrimmages going on. I haven't gotten any update on the round-robin scrimmage up in Cali. If somebody was involved in that, you could always call in the show. We got, 12, 13 more minutes. Dial in 347-826-7278. I'd like to hear what went down, what went on. You know what I'm saying? Football is football, and I'm excited. I am excited, and I am ready to rock and roll. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what? Let's see what the first week matchups are. Here we go. WFA week one matchups. We got 16 games slated for the April 10th opening day. We got the New England Nightmare at the Baltimore Burn. We got the Philadelphia Liberty Bells versus the Southern Tier Spitfire. We got the Keystone Assault at the New Jersey Titans. And again, I can't speak up on a lot of the teams because, again, they're on the East Coast, but we do have a new system in the WFA that I'm falling in love with. More details to come. But anyway, we got Daytona Diamonds at the Pittsburgh Force. We got the defending 2009 WFA National Champs, the St. Louis Slam at Cincinnati Sizzle. Good luck, Slam, because I know you guys got a target on your back this year. We got the Kentucky Karma at the Indiana Speed. We got the West Michigan Mayhem at the Detroit Dark Angels. That should be a great game. From my understanding, there's a great number of demos on that team, or demolition, Detroit demolitioners on that team. So that should be a great game. We got the Cleveland Fusion versus the Toledo Rain. We got the Jacksonville Dixie Blues at the Central Florida Anarchy. We got the Tampa Bay Pirates, the new name Tampa Bay team. They were originally the Emeralds. Yeah, the Emeralds. And now they're the Pirates at the Gulf Coast Riptide. We got the Nebraska Stampede at the Minnesota Machine. And I've been following the Minnesota Machine. Don't think I haven't been checking y'all out on Facebook. And I know y'all got top secret coach Mark Ream that came out there for the weekend and gave y'all some secrets and some good stuff. Let me stop. But, yeah, he definitely gave you guys some good stuff. I think Mark Ream is one of the best offensive line coaches that I've come across, no matter what level we talk about. I definitely see his passion. And, again, the Minnesota Machine is taking that next step. You know, when you see somebody that's good, and they saw him at the camping conference, and he helped out, you know, big time, and you invite him into your home out in Minnesota, that's some good stuff. That's called networking, folks. That's what it's all about. That's what the Women's Tackle Football Recruit.Neen.com board is all about, is networking. That's what the Women's Football Camp and Conference is all about. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to be a genius to meet somebody that knows somebody that know how to get it done. You just got to network. And if you don't find a place to network, then it won't happen. That's what I pride myself on. I pride myself on providing venues for those to network and make it happen. You know, that's my middle name, Deion Make It Happen Lee. That's me, Coach Lee. Anyway, moving on. We got the Houston Power at the Austin Outlaws. We got the Oklahoma City Lightning, who's coming back. You know, like I said, they took a year off, and, you know, they were one of the top teams in the NWFA in 2008. Took a year off to regroup, which is great. I'm glad to see a team, you know, really take that year off and come back and actually play the following season. You know, it's hard. You know, once you stop, it's hard to come back. And then when you do come back, you ain't what you used to be. But we will see. Oklahoma got there at the Lone Star Mustangs. We got the Mid-South Soul at the New Orleans Blade. We got the Las Vegas Showgirls at the Utah Blitz. Utah Blitz is the new team in the league. And we got two new teams, the San Diego Steam, who will be here in Vegas this weekend for a nice scrimmage. We're going to do a 50-play scrimmage, 50 offensive plays. We'll talk about some other things for our special teams, but we want to, you know, they want to see what they got. And they're going to be going up against another new team, which is the Central Cal War Angels. You know, Central California War Angels. So, again, you know, we got some good stuff lined up for the very first week, which is April 10th. 16 games. And that, for if you're the first-time listener, yeah, I'm talking about women's tackle football, for those who didn't know. And those teams are, like I said, we're all over the place. And I know I get this quite often here in Vegas. When somebody know about our team or hear about our team, you know, they wonder where, you know, the other teams come from. Are you guys playing local teams and stuff like that? And that's something that we have to get over that hump, teams out there. We got to let people know that this is national. You know, nobody knows the acronyms of any of the leagues. Hell, they don't even know that women play tackle football. And, you know, again, it's our job to do our market the best that we can. Is everybody going to hear about it in your market? No. I'm constantly banging the streets with flyers and information and getting the girls on the news and passing out our media books and, you know, as business cards and stuff like that. And still, everybody's not going to know. But you got to get yourself involved in the elementary schools. You got to get yourself involved in the middle schools. You got to definitely get yourself involved in high school, because those are the next divas that will be playing football for your team. You know, you definitely, as we learned tonight, listening to Ruby speak on it, hey, you got college athletes out there who have that urge to want to compete. You got to go out and get them. You got to go out and get them. You know, like I said, that just re-energized me. I'm a head up in UNLV, and it's funny that I talked to my buddy, Coach Ed Smith, who runs the girls' flag football program, well, one of the girls' flag football programs here. They just started up this past Sunday. Having games, and we were there as showgirls, representatives, and, you know, watching them. But we got to foster that that energy of young girls and show them that, hey, when you get older, you can do this and be this and, hey, play tackle football. So one thing I hope you learned tonight is you got to get out there. You got to be creative. And there's other women out there that want to play the sport, but you got to look under every rock. You got to turn every bush over. You know, you got to dig up, you know, the diamonds in the rough and all that other good stuff, you know. It got to happen. You got to get out there and recruit. And people got to know that you play, you know. But it's going to be a great 2010 season. You know, I can't wait. You know, again, my girls are biting at the bit right now to get some hitting in because I've been holding them back because, again, it's a long season. You know, we got 9 games in an 11-week season. We got 2 byes, and a couple of the girls are going to be traveling that have been elected to go over to Europe, Vienna, Austria, to play and represent, you know, USA, you know, America with the USA Lady Eagles Football Club. And so we got a couple of things on the rise. And like I said, this is going to be the year for women's football. This is going to be the year for women's football. Like I said, you heard it first here, 4 quarters with Coach Lee. This is going to be the what? The year for women's football. If I'm not mistaken, this is really year number 10 or 11 for the reincarnation of women's football. I'm not going to consider 1999 a year of a season. It was an exhibition of 2-3 teams or whatever, and then everything kicked up in 2000 from early 80s type of situation. But like I said, I'm not going to give you a history lesson right now because I ain't got enough time to talk about the history of the game. But you know what? That might be one of the topics that we talk about here. You know, it's the history. And I know one of the coaches with the Khalil Rain who can just break it down. So I might give her a call, Coach Mitchie, this week, and have her break down the history of, her story of women's football. Is that my music already, or is that too early? I thought I had another minute or two. Ah, it's about that time. Oh, yeah. Like I said, you are 4 quarters of Coach Lee, teaching every Monday. And like I said, I always go out with something to say. You know, may it be right, may it be wrong, but it's truth from the heart, just like what the songs say. You know, there's people out there who I call copycats, kings or queens. It don't matter. The fact is, I'm happy that people are realizing and opening their eyes and seeing that Coach Lee is all about women's football. You might not be able to work with me because you don't like me, but you still are working with me because you still institute the things that I've been talking about on this show. So I must be getting through to you. And it's all to the good because you know what? We're going to grow this sport whether you like it or you don't. Because it's my job to get out here and teach and let those who don't know know what's going down. People going to wake up one day, and hopefully we can wake up under one umbrella and realize that we all in this for the same reason, to push the sport forward, to recruit, and to give little girls an opportunity to play this sport from little girls to adulthood, just like we can as men, from boys to men, from girls to women. That's what it's all about. You rocking it again for 4 quarters. Coach Lee, I'll be back next week with more to teach, because that's what I do. Because it's always coming from the heart. I am Coach Lee, and I am out of here.